Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation, on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name, the echo is haunting, the echo is always the same. I call your name, the echo is haunting, an echo can never be changed. So I call your name, your name.
Buona sera, everybody. That's good evening in Italian. Welcome to Signs of Life. Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to consciousness, spirituality, the afterlife, and whatever comes up. I'm Roman Karpyshka. I am glad to be back after a three-month hiatus. 2 months ago, I was in Italy. That's why I started the show with buonasera or buenas noches. And our medium tonight, Dustin Livers, just told me that he was in Italy. So talk about happenstance. Anyways, in addition to being the youngest certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation, Dustin is also a certified Reiki master, uses healing energy in his spiritual and therapy sessions. He's also a licensed counselor in the state of Michigan. He has a master's degree in education, as well as master's in spirituality, culture, and health. And he's also studied at the prestigious Arthur Findlay College in England. In his private practice, he offers psychic readings, group mediumship sessions, spiritual counseling. He also teaches workshops in mediumship development and intuitive development. He does everything, this guy. His website is, I'm just going to spell it out. It's like, you know, your HTTPS full colon /// DustinLivers.com, DustinLyvers.com. It's the best way to reach him and find out more about him. So tonight's show, it's for research and informational purposes. So your questions are always welcome. Keep in mind, Dustin will not be doing any readings tonight. By the way, listeners, 2 years ago, we started polling you all for questions and we received a ton of them. It was great. But, you know, the atrophy sets in or whatever, and today we're receiving a trickle. So please keep emailing your questions, topics of suggestion, whatever you want to hear on this show. You can email your questions to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Okay, so if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008 or If you want to, you can also be calling in on a non-888 number, which is 323-744-4831. So with that all said, I'm not even going to say this anymore, but this will be the last time that it's commercial free, because it has been for like the last 2 years. Why do I keep repeating that? There's no reason for it. So Dustin, welcome to the really big show. How you doing?
Thank you, Roman. It's great to be here. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Can you believe the last time we spoke, it was on this show, August 13th, 2020.
I can't believe it. No, it's been 3 years. I can't believe it.
It's almost 3 years. 3 years shy, 2 months. Unbelievable. Yeah. How have you been? You've been busy, huh?
I have. I've been very busy. So I have been in Michigan. This shouldn't become as a big surprise, because I love school and I love learning. I will be finishing my PhD, hopefully at the end of this year or the start of next. So that's what I've been doing the past 3 years.
Fantastic. So. My question number two was, did you receive your PhD yet?
So the next time I'm on, I might be Dr. Dustin.
By the next time, yeah, you'll be postdoctoral Dustin. I hope it's not 3 years till we speak again, my friend.
No, I hope it's not that long either.
No. Oh man. So yeah, are you getting affected, by the way, by the by all that smoke that's coming from Canada?
No, I haven't seen any of the smoke from where I am in Michigan. No.
Well, yesterday New York had its worst day ever. I mean, you know, on the index, It goes from 0 to 500, with 500 being like dangerously nuclear toxic.
It
reached like 490 or 489 in New York City yesterday. It was
wow.
So normally the AQI air quality index is like 30, 35, 40, you know, which is good. In Albany, where I'm at, it's right now, it's dropped below 100, but I mean, yesterday it was close to 200. It was pretty bad. And in New York City, it was like really bad yesterday. And just, you know, I mean, it's something that we brought onto ourselves. It's from climate. You know, things are getting drier because of, the climate getting more hotter, the world becoming hotter.
This kind of stuff.
I mean, Quebec and Ontario, the northern part of it, all burning, all on fire. It's crazy. All the forest.
Oh my goodness. No, yeah. I knew about the fires, but I didn't know it was affecting New York like that. Wow.
Oh, it is big time. Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just, you know, by tomorrow it'll be better. And I was just curious if you, I mean, you guys had your own share of stuff. You had the Flint water crisis that always comes to mind.
Oh, that's still happening. Actually, I have some friends in Flint and I asked them about that and they're like, it's still there. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? It's, you know, it is an interesting world, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting world and, you know, never a dull moment. That's all I can tell you. It's not all good. It's just, crazy, just got to roll with it, right?
Yes, that's all we can do is just move forward through the craziness.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. So do you, I got to just fix something on my screen because I can't see if any callers are calling in. Give me 1 second. I just got to get to the chat, get my chat box open. All right, now I can see it. Okay, so if anybody calls in, I wouldn't have been able to tell. Yeah. So that's... problem rectified. No problem. So in the last 3 years, have you noticed any like thing different in the world of spirituality? Are you getting, you know, did you learn anything new? You know, I don't know. I know it's a very broad question, but I like to start.
No one's ever asked me that in the past 3 years. Have you learned anything new?
Exactly. I mean, geez, what have you learned?
Great. Oh, I've learned quite a bit. Yeah. So, wow. Most of my work, in counseling, I work a lot in the realm of people's spirituality, and religion. And also I work a lot with religious trauma, and spiritual abuse. So I'm always learning about world religions and also how it impacts us emotionally, mentally, physically. The lasting impact, you know, that someone's spiritual journey, especially one who's been wounded. And a lot of spiritual seekers, a lot of spiritual people have been wounded by religion, specifically, Abrahamic, you know, Christianity, mm-hmm. You know, in particular, at least in this country. And so I'm always researching that stuff all the time and in my own personal development. I practice meditation. I talk with my own spirit guides. I always, tend to turn, inward, you know, anytime that I'm, you know, searching for big, meaningful answers or guidance in my own life.
Now, how many spirit guides do you have that you know of?
I mean, I don't know if the number really matters. You know, Cap, can you list them all? I mean, how many?
So there's that many? Wow. That's cool.
I mean, well, I personally believe we have different guides for different things. So for me personally, I know of three in particular.
Oh, okay.
And they come forward at different points or in different, specifically different work that I'm doing. I can feel them in the work when I'm engaging in meaningful work that's not only changing other people, but also changing me. Because a lot of the work that I engage in, it not only changes others, but it also changes myself when I engage in the practice.
Well, I'm sure you have many revelations that you can tell, especially from, you know, I mean, it's a very interesting topic, you know. You probably have clients that are, you know, have been hurt by some kind of religion, not to mention any, and you have to set them on the path to healing, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
From that.
Absolutely.
Okay. And do you find that it's the ones that are like taking it like to the extreme, like the extreme religious zealots, like, you know, taking, for example, the Bible, like word for word or whatever they're reading, the Quran or, you know, the Old Testament, doesn't matter. Is it because of that? Because they're too religious or what usually affects them?
So that's difficult to say very in a short, succinct way. So typically when we talk about religious trauma or religious abuse, we're talking about, you know, something that has left a lasting impact on someone negatively, right? That's what a trauma is. So when we talk about religion or spiritual abuse, we're talking about something that has happened from a religious upbringing or the way that they were culturally raised in their religious upbringing, either at home or in a church environment or religious environment of some kind, that has left a negative impact. So for instance, a lot of my clients are LGBT+. So a lot of my LGBT+ clients have been told that they're going to hell or they're never going to, you know, meet God because they're gay or lesbian or trans. Their parents have tried to change them.
That's ridiculous.
That would be one example.
Okay, that's a good example. Yeah. That clears up a lot because, you know, it's just, I think that the world is becoming more woke. And, you know, a lot of people don't like wokeism. I'm okay with it because I think everybody should be treated equal. And I think, you know, you are what you are. It's not like you chose to be straight or you chose to be gay. You are what you are. Simple as that.
That's what the research says. Yes. Nobody chooses these. You're just born. Yes. I wish people listened to that. Yeah.
Look, I mean, I'm hopelessly heterosexual. Okay. I've got a wife, kid, whatever, which is fine, you know? And okay. I just picture myself trying to be converted into not being a heterosexual. There is no way. It's impossible. How can you take somebody from the other side and do the same thing? It's exactly the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unfortunately, conversion therapy is still being practiced to this day.
Oh, it is.
Even in this country. And so that is something that absolutely needs to be, especially for our trans youth who are the most at risk. And that's definitely a group that I love to work with. Because a lot of people don't think that LGBT+ and spirituality can go together. I mean, gay people have souls. People don't think they're like, oh, they must be separate or they have to be these separate things or, you know, and so that's definitely a group that's near and dear to my heart, of course, because I identify as a part of the community. But I love working with anyone's spiritual journey and spiritual path. That's one of my most fulfilling clients to work with.
Right. Well, that's commendable. So let's remind our listeners, how did you discover your gift?
I love how you asked that. Such an open question. So I started, there were signs when I was young. So I've talked about this in other interviews I've done. Mm-hmm. So when I was about 5 or 6, I would see shadows at night. Okay. And I was aware of spirit. And my childhood was very challenging. I didn't have a great childhood growing up. My parents, you know, they did the best they could, but they didn't know how to be parents. And I have a lot of generational trauma in my own family on both sides. So being raised by parents with challenges, you know, is very challenging. So when spirit would communicate to me, at nighttime, it was very scary. Right. Because I was in bed and I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, they're around. But during the day, it was actually very comforting. So it actually would change, you know, how spirit would approach me when I was a child. Sometimes it was scary and sometimes it was comforting. And I didn't have a word for psychic or mediumship until I actually started watching Pokemon.
Pokemon.
So, yes, Pokemon. So when I was about 6, 7 years old. Let's see, I'm 30 now, so I'm dating myself. So Pokemon was around. Let's see, it's the dates match up. So I was watching, and there are psychic and ghost type Pokemon, and they actually talk. One of the gym leaders is a psychic gym leader, and they actually do the stereotypical psychic exercises where they're like looking at cards and trying to like, and they're using telekinesis and those kinds of things. So I had a word for it, and that was like the first time I ever knew what it was or was introduced. And I can remember being on a school bus next to this other boy, and we were talking about it, and we were trying to guess the numbers in each other's heads. So we were like guessing, like, what are you thinking of, or what do you, you know, what number are you thinking? And I think I was actually kind of good at it.
Wow.
And so I went home and I told my dad, and I was like, "Dad, I'm psychic." And he did not believe me. I was like, "No, I swear." But like, yeah, so that was the first time I had a word for it. And now I didn't actually start getting into it until I was 15. So when I was 15, my aunt Candace's best friend, Susie Holshue, she owned a yoga studio in Elkhart, Indiana, called the Flower of Life Center. And I would actually go there, and I was practicing intuitive Reiki with her clients when I was 15. So wow. I was already, getting introduced to that world of spirituality and, you know, working with Reiki. And then I started doing readings when I was about 17, 18. And then I didn't know I was a medium till I was 19. And that was when I met Don, who was my mentor.
Don
Rons. Yeah, he's a medium. He's studied abroad at the Arthur Findlay College, I think upwards of 30 times he's been there. And so John, I found John, and he took me under his wing, and then that's history. Then I took the test for the Forever Family Foundation when I was 20, and I got in at 21. And it was quite a shock, you know, for a 21-year-old to pass the FFF certification.
Yeah, those are double blind experiments. I mean, guesswork is immediately brought to the surface, like immediately. Yes. So
that's the timeline. And at 21 or 20, I was also at the Arthur Findlay College. John sponsored me to go, and then when I got back, I took the test for the Forever Family Foundation, and then so that's the timeline. So when I was about 6, things were happening. Didn't have a word for it till Pokemon, and then started getting into it as a teenager, and now I'm 30 years old, and this is my job.
Wow. Do you, how many readings, do you do a lot of readings in a week, or like, do you limit yourself?
In a typical week, so as of now, because I'm doing my dissertation, I carve out Monday and Tuesday for dissertation, so those are my writing days. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are my client days. So I start my day at 10, seeing counseling clients, and I'm booked up back to back. I have no openings in my calendar. Wow. So I have a full load of clients from 10 to 6, but at noon and 2, I see my clients for readings. So I like to do noon and 2 because it's a little break and I have my lunch hour. So it kind of separates the two. So, right. So like I start with counseling, have readings in the middle of the day, end with counseling. And that's what I do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And then Saturday and Sunday, I usually have off unless I'm doing group readings like I'm doing this weekend at Beyond Zen Yoga Studio in Granger, Indiana. I'll be down there this weekend. But I usually use the weekends for private groups or group readings, those kinds of things, the events on the weekends.
To be a fly on the wall in your office. the stuff that you must hear and experience and go through, it's probably one of the most exciting jobs there is. You know,
because I love my job. I love it because not only is it so exciting, and I was the kid that loved soap operas. I'm not going to lie to you, Roman.
Okay, that's fine.
I used to watch all of the daytime television when I was a young teen. I would start with Maury and Dr. Phil, and
oh boy.
I would be watching all of them. I watched all the Judge shows, so I loved knowing the drama or what's going on. What I don't like is being in the drama.
Oh, of course.
It's nice to observe, right, or to watch it, but I don't like being in it. So being a therapist, you know, you get to hear everything going on, you know, all that's going, and then you get to give guidance. And, right, we don't give advice, but we give some guidance and a comfort, right, and we're there as a cheerleader, which I love. But we're not in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I love it. This is like my dream job. Yeah.
Fantastic. So do you practice more of, actually you answered that question based on your schedule. So it seems to me like most of your day is occupied with your counseling stuff. And
yes. Well, I cannot do more than two readings in a single day. Mm-hmm. So for me to be accurate and to work at the level of proficiency that, you know, people expect of me, I cannot do more than two readings in a day. That just cannot happen. So people don't understand that. So like, even if I didn't have my counseling job, I would still only be seeing two clients a day for readings.
Right.
Because I cannot do more than that. And in my personal and professional opinion, I don't think other mediums should be doing that either. Like, it's just too much. It is just too draining. You get a headache, your body aches. Like, it's just too much.
I understand. Now, because you, like, I guess a big portion of your clientele, understandably, would be grief, people suffering from grief. Especially in your mediumship.
Yes.
But in your counseling, you probably get those too, right?
Like, I do, yeah. Well, grief affects everybody.
Yeah.
So any therapist is always going to encounter grief, right? Everybody's, right? But I do sometimes have people who Google me, find out I'm a medium and I work in spirituality, and they seek me out because I'm a psychic medium and an empath. So so they may be going through grief, right? And they like my take on it because they want to incorporate spirituality into their grief process. They may have had a paranormal experience that was really powerful to them, or a spiritual experience, and they don't want to go to a therapist who's going to think that they're crazy. So they come to me because they know that I'm very spiritually open. Right. So they know that I'm a safe person to talk to, that I'm not going to judge them or diagnose them or say they have schizophrenia or they're crazy. Mm-hmm. Right. So so that's part of my personal mission, is to have therapists competently work with people's spirituality, and specifically spiritual experiences, like connecting to their loved ones, because a lot of therapists don't do it. They just don't know how. Or they don't know even where to start, or the words. I mean, they just have no competency at all.
Do you ever feel like, when you're doing your, you know, strict counseling thing, not the readings, but the counseling thing, do readings creep into there? Like, not because of the client or anything, not them asking or anything, but because there's somebody on the other side that's like, just tell them this, or, you know.
That has happened, yes. Yeah. So that actually happens more often than people think. And a lot of times that guides me as a counselor into the area that I need to get into. So for instance, I remember there was a kid that was referred to me when I was doing one of my internships in the Bremen school district back home in Indiana. And they had me do an emergency homicidal assessment on this like 9-year-old boy. And I was like, this kid's not going to kill anybody, you know. But they called me in. So I said, okay. So I go in there, I give him the assessment, and I just knew there was something going on with his mom. So I said, you know, tell me a little bit about your mom and like what's going on with your mom. The minute I said mom, this kid tells me that he was being abused by his mom. And that's where his behaviors were coming out in the school. And so I immediately called my supervisor, called CPS. And there was a full investigation done with his mom, all of that. And the boy got the help that he needed. But he wasn't going to kill anybody. He was just acting out because he was being abused, you know, from his mom. Yes. So there are very powerful times, right, that our intuition or spirit, if we allow it, will come in, you know, to the right person, the right place, right time, and will guide us to ask or do the things that we need to do, right, to help somebody.
Right.
And that was a moment when that happened with that little boy. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that little boy, you know, got some help. You know, got some real, that's really good. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of, you know, school's different now than it was when I was going to school. I know I sound like an old man, but when I was going to school, walk barefoot, in all seriousness, when we got in trouble, I mean, I'm aging myself. I was in elementary school between like 1970 and 76, so a long time ago. You know, you got in trouble, you went to the principal's office, and you know, they had corporal punishment where they slapped your hand, you know, and it's over. It you're done. You know, then your parents get a note, then you get it really, you know, from your parents when you get back because of the embarrassment that caused, and that was it. You know, today it's very different. You know, because I have kids that are in there, and it's very, you know, it's very nonviolent, very, you know, you got to understand the slightest thing is seen as a provocation. You know, it's kind of different these days. Society has changed. It's evolved. I mean, I don't know if it's evolved or devolved, you know. and a lot of it has to do with the technology, you know, what we're seeing on TV and the instant gratification from, you know, from devices, iPods, phones, and, you know, like now you don't just communicate with one person on the phone. You communicate with, you know, you could be thousands depending on your followers, right? So it's crazy. It's a crazy world, you know? And I mean, in a way it's helped because I think it's done a lot for spirituality and putting it more to the forefront. It's still not in the forefront. It's still considered taboo in science. But it's making leeway. It's getting to the forefront. And at some point, you know, when we come up with a physical test that can test spirituality somehow, that's when science is going to believe it, you know? So it's really weird. It's really weird. I mean,
in my lifetime, the stigma has shifted. So when I first started doing readings when I was a teenager, I mean, my friends all were like, oh, you're weird, you're crazy. When I opened up my business when I was 18, because I opened up my LLC when I was 18.
Okay.
And I started doing, you know, energy work back then and readings. Mm-hmm. My friends were like, oh, that's like, that's weird, or that's crazy, or they were like, it'll never work. Or my religious friends were like, that's the devil's work, there's demons, you know. Like, it was like, nobody was supportive. No one.
Yep.
But I still did it because I felt called and I was like, no, I'm gonna do this. And now people are like, oh wow, you're like a god on earth, or you're an angel, or you know, they're like all on your side. And I don't know if that's a cultural shift or it's because they see I'm successful. It's probably a mix of a lot of different factors. But the stigma, the spiritual stigma of being in this line of work, or, you know, incorporating spirituality, has certainly changed. It is not like it used to be over 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It is not. It's
definitely,
no.
It's definitely changed. It's come more to the forefront. And, you know, I guess it's part of the, maybe it's part of the woke movement, you know, just being more spiritual, you know? Who knows? It could be, I don't know. But I like your attitude towards all of that. You know, you're obviously very successful in what you do, but it you know, just, it's not going to your head at all, which is great.
No, I'm very grounded. And that's one thing that the people I work with love, because I'm very practical. I'm very grounded. I always give this example. So like one time I was reading this woman and her mom was coming through and she showed me a lamp. And I was like, your mom is showing me a lamp. And the woman was like, well, she was a very bright person. And I said, no, no, there's a lamp. I said, no, no, there's got to be a lamp connected to your mom. And she's like, oh, yeah, I do have her lamp. I said, yes, it's the lamp, you know. I said, it's none of this woo-hoo crap. She's a bright person. No, no, no.
Everybody has their own thing.
Yeah, well, you can do technology that I'll never be able to do. I'm so bad with technology. It's embarrassing. I feel like an old man when I'm like doing, I'm like, I don't know any of this stuff. People think I do because I'm young, but I'm like, no.
Nope.
I'm so bad with that stuff.
Well, yeah, I'm a early adopter gizmo fanatic. I have I'm also a guitar fanatic too. So I got a lot of guitars, a lot of amps, a lot of technology and musical technology, I would say. So
I love that.
Yeah. So that's my thing. Yeah. So listen, I see that, you do private readings, you do group readings, you do spiritual therapy sessions, you do counseling sessions, you teach classes. You probably do a lot more. You were on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. I supervise. I've done research. I've been published. Yeah.
Well, fantastic. So what if you had to pick a favorite thing to what's your favorite way to serve others?
People ask me this and I'm like, I don't know how to answer it because
if people would write in their questions, you wouldn't be getting these silly questions from me.
I'm gonna be honest with you, this is what I usually tell people. I am somebody who likes to do a bunch of different things. I get bored when I do mundane, repetitive tasks. So like if I were to just counsel all day long, or if I were to just do research all day long, or just teach all day long, in and out every day, I would get so burnt out. Mm-hmm. I know myself enough to know that I'm someone who needs a lot of stimulation, a lot of new things. That is just not going to do it for me. So that's part of the reason why I'm intentional about doing a lot of different things, having my hand in a lot of different pots, knowing a lot of different people and exploring all the different sides of myself, because that is really just who I am. I am not someone who's just going to be like the best at one thing. Like I like to do a lot of different things, and that is what keeps my battery going. So I cannot just stick with one. That's just not me. I cannot be the guy in an office 9 to 5 doing the same thing every day. That's just not me.
Right.
No, I can't do it.
And you're not. You're getting, every day is a different adventure for you. So again, I would love to be the fly on the wall in your office, just to see what's going on.
Idea what's going to happen. I'm going to be just totally honest with you. Yep. I mean, people call me and they're like, Dustin, I don't know what I need, but like, let me tell you. And they'll tell me what's going on. And then I can usually tell what they are looking for. The only time I don't do that is when somebody wants a reading, because I don't like to know anything ahead of time for readings. So if someone gives me too much info ahead of time, I just refer them back to the Forever Family Foundation or to somebody else. But if it's on the other realms, right, like spiritual therapy, counseling or teaching, right, mentorship, whatever, then I can usually weed out kind of what they're looking for, what might be helpful for them.
Oh, okay.
That's how it works.
You brought up a really good point, because, I've been to really bad mediums that, like, they tell me, bring a picture of your deceased loved one.
Oh, well, no.
That's kind of stupid.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I see a 5-year-old boy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's because you're looking at the picture of my son. Where's the talent in that? Where's the, it's crazy.
If someone tells me a bunch of stuff, so people still, like, even on my website everywhere, it says, don't give me a lot of information. Don't tell me stuff. Yeah. Like, it's just in all my videos, it's out there. People still send me extensive emails outlining who they want to talk to, all of the stuff about their life. And when I get that email, they hate me because my reply is, I can no longer work with you. And I have to send them out and I say, you need to go to somebody else and don't send them all this stuff. I'm so sorry. You know, that's literally what I say. And I none of them ever respond. I never get a single response when I send that.
But why would they even send that? Because you don't want what ifs. I mean, when I go and see a medium, I give them a fake name. I give them a fake phone number. Like, I'll call from a conference room, like where I work or whatever, where there's thousands of people, you know? So it can't be traced back to me. And I tell them, I'll pay you in cash. I'm not giving you credit card information. Just so you can't Google my name and find out things about me.
I don't got time for that anyway. People think I Google. I'm like, who's got time for? I don't. I'm starting my day in the morning and I don't end till six. There's even no Googling.
Even scarier than Google now, my friend, is ChatGPT. I mean, ChatGPT can write a complete reading for you, and you can just read it off. You know, it's crazy what artificial intelligence is doing these days. It's actually, it's very, very scary. You know, Skynet is coming for those Terminator fans.
Oh my.
Yeah. Humans are, you know, we can become extinct because computers are going to be self-aware and they're going to realize that we're dangerous for them. So for them to self-preserve, you know, it's the Terminator. Mm. But I digress. That's completely off topic.
Yeah. But to go back to what you were saying about, you know, what job do you like the most or you know, which ones were fulfilling? That's really how I live my whole life, is by doing different things. You know, I have hobbies. You know, I like to dance and, you know, mm-hmm. I'll travel. But I usually will do different things in the dancing or the traveling. Like, for instance, I travel to different countries every time I travel. So I don't go to the same place. I need new things. I like to do new stuff. So I'm learning new dances, which dance is actually, I don't know if you knew this, Roman, dance is the universal language.
Dance,
yeah. So the universal language is dance. So mm-hmm. when I travel, I'm dancing, and I usually dance with random people. Why not? You know, people I just meet at bars or people I meet out and about. And yeah, that's how, one of the ways I connect with people. And that is just like me. Like, I need new stuff, new things. That's what I'm all about.
You know, you know what's really funny? Both you and I just came back from Italy. I was there two months ago, and you were there. You just got back
a week ago. Yes.
Yeah. And this was my probably my fourth time in Italy. I just love that country.
Oh, wow.
The third time I was in Italy was 20 years ago with my wife. We had just gotten married, and I remember we were in Venice on one night. We were in St. Mark's Square. I paid the piano man to play that Elvis, the Elvis song, Wise Men Say Only Fools Rush In. You know, that Falling in Love with You song, that famous song by Elvis. So he played it. We danced in the square. We got back. We're there with our kids eating lunch in that same square. The orchestra starts playing the same damn song right there. So I got a video of me and we had to get up and dance in the middle of the square.
Right?
20 years later.
That's beautiful. That is wonderful. That's
but I mean, so talk special. About, you know, coincidence, you know, like, out of all the songs in the world, they play that one as soon as we show up. You know, obviously different artists or whatever. So there's something, you know, something unexplainable happening there, you know,
mm-hmm. because it's serendipitous. Yeah. Serendipitous.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Synchronicities. Yeah. Special.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. So, like, how do you prepare yourself for a reading? Like, what do you do to get ready?
So, before a reading, I will usually take a breath. I'll go to the bathroom. So, remember, I'm done with my client session, right? 11 to 11:52, because I have to have them for 52 minutes. So, I'm a clock watcher. I'm big on time. That's kind of my thing. I'm big on structured time. I think it's an important boundary for all of my work. But anyway, so I have 8 minutes, right? So I go to the bathroom, take a breath, drink some water, center myself. And then they call in right at noon, or they walk in at noon. So I really have that 8 minute kind of 10 minute window, to really center myself. But the preparation really happens the day before, right? So like, you got to eat right, right? I go to the gym, right? You got to get 8 hours of sleep, because I'm the tool, right? I'm the medium,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So I have to make sure my body, my, you know, mental faculties, right? Everything is on and is able to connect well, for the next person coming in. And so really it's self-care, right? It's making sure I'm not hungry. I don't have to go to the bathroom, right? That, you know, I'm getting rest, right? All of that the day before. And then when it's 10 minutes to showtime, so to speak, you know, I'm centering myself. And yeah.
Okay. Like, do you say like, a lot, I know a lot of mediums have they do like a kind of a protection prayer, so only good things can come through, and you know, that kind of thing. Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
So I have such a deep, strong connection with spirit. I've been doing this work since I was 19. That spirit just knows. We have such a deep, strong relationship that I can just open the door and bam, I'm feeling stuff immediately.
Wow.
So they already know, you know, I'm ready to work. They know to protect me. My spirit team is well trained. They know what they're doing. So I don't have to do all of those rituals. The ritual is just there. It's just turning on for me now.
Is that something that you had to do before, and now that you don't have to do it, that you develop?
Yeah. Because I developed my relationship with my spirit people over time.
That's interesting. That's interesting. So, I think that I don't know. How do you exactly receive your messages from the spirit world? Like, do you get visions? Are you clairvoyant or clairaudient?
I am extremely clairsentient. So I feel so deeply that not only can I feel sensations of how somebody dies or feelings that they have for people, but I can actually feel the worldview of the spirit. So I can actually feel how they viewed their life, their everything that was meaningful to them.
Oh, okay.
I can actually feel what we call an overshadowing. So the spirit actually will like sit into me. And sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it, but my body will actually do mannerisms that the spirit used to do. So for instance, I may stand a certain way that the spirit used to stand, or I may touch my hair in a way that spirit used to touch their hair. I mean, I can feel so deeply that it's like they just come into me.
Wow.
And so, and it can be very scary.
I'm
right?
Sure.
Because it's such a deep, intimate, strong, you know, feeling. Right. And then, of course, I can see things, hear things. I also have a very special talent, which is called objective clairaudience. So I can actually hear the spirit sometimes in their own voice. So I can sometimes describe the spirit's voice to my clients and say, or if they spoke in another language, I can sometimes hear the language. And so I'll know that it's something that's a different language, or I can sometimes even hear the words that they used to use. So sometimes when I say words, clients will be like, they used to say that, like that was a word they always said, or that was a phrase they always said, like, cause I can hear it. You know, so, but my strongest is definitely the clairsentience.
The last time that we were on the show, our topic was about messages of doom and stuff like that. It was whether mediums receive or divulge information about the impending death of somebody in the physical realm. Do you remember that?
No.
And all my questions were related to that, you know?
talked about? I don't even remember.
That's what we talked about, yeah.
That was the topic? Oh, my God.
That was the topic.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. That was, you know, I mean, that was the topic I was given. So we used to stick to the topic and that was it, you know. So now we kind of go all over the place, which I like this format a lot better because you never know what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
More like a normal conversation, even though last time we talked about that a lot, but, you know, we still had a good time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow. So speaking about that, do you just refresh my memory about that? Do you like receive those kind of messages from spirit about somebody in the physical? They're not here for long, so better get your affairs in order, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So you're getting into ethics. So the ethics of mediumship. The answer point blank is no. You don't tell people when they're going to die. However, we do receive information about people passing. Like, spirit does communicate that at times.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what I always say to people is, you may want to visit them. You might want to see them. You know, you may want to go see them, you know, if you can do it, or, you know, whatever. But I never tell people, you know, when they're going
to. And tell them not to buy green bananas.
No. No, in fact, actually, you're going to laugh at me, but this is a true story. So when I was like in my early 20s, I was hired to do a group reading at this really wealthy lady's house. She had this beautiful basement. She had like a huge group of people in the basement. So I went in there, and it must have been like her aunt or someone, like this super wrinkly, skinny white lady, must have been like in her late 50s, early 60s. I'm about to start like my readings, and she walks in front of the crowd, comes up to me, grabs my hands, and is holding my hands in front of everyone. And she looks at me and she says, "Can you tell me if I'm gonna die?"
Oh my God.
Like, she literally, in front of the entire group of people, and I'm looking at people's reactions, and they're like, their mouths are hanging open. They're looking at each other. I mean, they're like, whoa. And I was like shocked, right? I'm like, holy crap, this has never happened. And so I was like,
yeah, you're going to die. We're all going
to
die.
No, I didn't say that to her. I was like, I don't know, you know, you're going to be fine. I don't even know what I said, to be honest, but something along those lines, I'm sure. But it was very shocking. She was absolutely serious. She really wanted to know, you know.
In front of everybody, just grab, am I going to die?
Yes. It was very, very, yes, it was very shocking, yeah.
You should have just said yes one day.
Yeah. I don't know how I got out of that one, but somehow I think I
Well, somehow you did.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a ton of stories like that. I just wish I knew the right words to bring them out from you. You know, those are the fascinating ones. I love stuff like that. This has been great. Awesome. I guess as a rule of thumb, you don't like tell stuff like that. I mean, but what about, I mean, there must be a place where you draw the line. If somebody's going to experience some kind of bad thing, and
yeah, so that you actually can warn them about that. Just happened today. I had a woman in my office today, actually, who I gave a reading to, and she came to see me, I think like 6 months ago. She was actually a part of this big group. So I did a big group reading at this fancy restaurant called Kitchen 600 in Kalamazoo, which is like way more expensive than I'm willing to pay for dinner. But I was hired by a woman who ran a spa, and she had all of her women, all the spa ladies there, all of the beauticians and everyone, like this beautiful, gorgeous young women that like my friends would be killing me. They're like, why didn't you invite me? You know, all my straight man friends are looking for girlfriends. But anyway, so I had a great time with these women. So one of them came to see me like six months ago, and she came to see me again just today. Like, this was the second time. When she came to see me today at the end of the reading, it happened today. I said, there's something going on with your eyes and your ears. And I was like, I think it was her grandma was telling me something with her eyes and her ears. Well, she said her grandma brought this up last time. And so she went to the doctor because she was getting headaches.
Yep.
And she said they did an MRI on her and they found a cyst right between her eyes, like the size of like a gumball. And wow. I said, oh my God. And she, her grandma said she's going to learn to live with it, which I thought was interesting. I said, I don't know what that means. She said, well, the doctors will not operate on her because it's in a very high risk zone right next to her brain. And it's not causing her any immediate harm. It's a cyst. It's not cancerous. It's benign. So she said, I'm going to be living with it.
Okay.
I said, wow, well, your grandma says you're going to be fine. You know,
Maybe it's her spiritual eye or whatever, you know?
It's a real cyst. He got it on the MRI and everything. Wow. I couldn't believe it. Like, that kind of stuff is not the first time that that's come through before. Like, I have done medical intuition for people. But to hear it from someone, you know, just today. So yeah, spirit will deliver what we may think is bad news, but really it's for preparation or for warning or to make some kind of change.
Yeah. You know, and I guess if it's to warn somebody, I mean, go ahead, right? Warn somebody.
Yeah. Why yeah. Not? Or to let them know. Yeah. They're going to keep an eye on that now for the rest of her life, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely. So you touched on your future project. What are you thinking of doing after you finish your, get your doctorates and have all this time on your hands?
So you're probably going to laugh at me, but I would love to get on a bigger platform and I would love to be like the Dr. Mike for mental health and spirituality and, mediumship. So I would love to be able to give people like, you know, advice and how to live a life of wellness and incorporate spirituality and also how to incorporate spirit into their lives. That would be a wonderful career and I would love to do that.
Wow.
So that's really, I think, where I'm going to be heading. I'm going to redo all my socials and my websites and stuff and finally get on TikTok. Huh?
Going to move to California?
I probably move somewhere a little nicer. Maybe I'll find a husband one day. That'd be nice. But yeah, like, you know, it'd be nice to spread my wings a little bit more because I have been very confined in Indiana and Michigan. I know that if I were to move to a bigger city, there would be way more opportunity for me, especially with my skill set and everything. So
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, nothing wrong with Michigan. I have first cousins in Michigan and Detroit. They live in Warren, Michigan. And I'm very close with them. They're very nice people. And, but you know, Michigan is, you know, it's revived. Detroit is revived. I just had a gig there about a year ago and my jaw dropped when I saw the downtown, like what it looked like on a Saturday night. It's completely different from what it was like 20 years ago. The last time I gigged there with my band.
Yeah.
And they've made a lot of cleanups. They got that monorail going and everything. It's really nice.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people do. They fly up here, right? They're snowbirds. Yeah. So they live in Michigan and Florida and they fly between the two, you know? And,
oh yeah.
Yeah. And it's nice. You got the Great Lakes, the dunes, you know, you got stuff up here.
No, it's beautiful. Beautiful. Well, you know what? This hour has just flown by, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah. It's two old buddies having a chat. That's what it is. That's what I see it as. Absolutely. So, tell us about your bookings before we go and how people can, what's the best way to reach you? It's through your website, right?
Yeah. So you can book an appointment with me on my website, which you mentioned earlier, Roman, www.dustinlivers.com. Mm-hmm. I also have an Instagram, Facebook page. They all have links to my booking calendar too. I am booked up for a few weeks. But yeah, I have appointments. They do book up fast. I'm booked solid every week. So I just don't have any, you know, sometimes you can wait to like the week before or like 2 weeks before, but like it's always booked every week. So,
Okay. Well, that's great. So, I mean, I don't need to wish you good luck because you're doing great. But good luck anyways, because it's the right thing to say.
And I know
you're gonna thrive for sure. You're gonna be the next big advisor you're gonna have your own talk show in California one day.
That would be great. I always tell people that. I'm a Taurus and Taurus rules the throat. And I always tell people my throat is my money maker. I always say it's my talking when I teach, when I lecture, and my counseling clients actually want me to talk more because I listen, obviously, during counseling. Right. I'm mostly listening. So they're always asking me to talk. They're like, tell me what to do. Tell me what you think. I'm like, it's not about me. But my throat is definitely the money maker for sure. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, we want to thank you very much, Dustin, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And I will be here. No more trips to Italy for the next little while. Like I said, 2 months ago, I was in Italy. And last month, I was picking up my daughter at JFK coming back from Italy. Aww. His flight actually came in on the Thursday night, so I couldn't do the show last time either. But I miss doing it, so I'm glad to be back, and I'll be back next month.
Oh, well, thank you, Roman. I've really enjoyed being on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you too, Dustin. All the best to you and good night, everybody. We will talk to you in another month. Have a good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
All right, good night, everyone. Thank you.